And then it occurred to me, what luck.
Okay.
I
so,
swore a solemn
my family
years
really
ago,
intense.
I was invited to a party.
Totally different.
But I never
I come from a large Irish, Italian, Catholic family.
On Lake Effect Weekend, it is time for stories from Exfabula. Real stories told live from real people in this area. And the person who brings us the stories every week is Leah Delaney from Exfabula, looking relaxed at microphone number two. Good to see you.
Reclined and relaxed. Good to see you, too. How are you doing, Bruce?
Not too bad. You have stories from us that are kind of taken from the headlines we see in the past few weeks and things going on around Wisconsin. At least it's tied to it a little bit.
Just a titch. Yeah, we definitely decided to pull a couple of stories that are sort of relating to what's happening in education, government, yada, 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 all that good stuff. But these particular stories, the first one is from Sue Blaustein, who told a story at our event called Foolproof. This was last year. Talks a little bit about union busting and some interesting things. So let's take a listen to Sue Blaustein.
About 3 years ago, my union was busted. And for me, that was a really bitter thing because I was a longtime activist. I was a board member of my union. I was treasurer. I was vice president. I was president. I was newsletter editor. And so it was really a blow. But I hate to admit it, politically, I hate to admit it, but there was a silver lining to that, which was after our union was busted for the last couple of years, I haven't had to help organize a union holiday party or a union picnic. Because no matter how hard you try to set your sights on the higher aims of the labor movement, you're going to get sucked into working to organize an event, and there's no foolproof way to avoid aggravation when you do this. And yet, we had volunteers. We had a lot of people participating because the annual holiday party was a big deal in our local. And so we had people to get decorations. We had people to book the DJ, to get the hall, to do all this stuff. And my task should have been simple. Since I was the newsletter editor and I generated all the print, I just had to make the sign-up sheets, and that should be really simple. But I'm not really good at organizing data. The reason I was newsletter editor was because I'm good with words, so I can organize data into sentences, and that's it. But you still think this should be simple. It's a sign-up sheet. Well, we had a system. The member got to go to the dinner and dance for free, and you got to bring a guest for free. If you wanted to bring any other guests beyond your first guest, they had to pay, and that's pretty simple. But then the other thing, we had rules, because that was our biggest expenditure of the year, so in order not to get stiffed by people who said they were going to come because it's free and then didn't show up, you did, even for yourself and your guest, you had to write a check, because that was a deposit. When you showed up to the party, you'd get it back, and if you didn't show up, we'd keep it to cover the cost. Okay, so it's simple. You write a sign-up sheet. I go to the computer. I put the cursor over the table in Word. How many columns? Okay, there's got to be one column for the name of the member, because our treasurer needs a roster. The banquet hall needs a head count. Okay, should I put another column for your free guest? And then should I put another column for just how many extra guests beyond your free guests? This is really not a complicated plot problem. And so I would finally put a column for the member, a column for your free guest, and maybe two or three more columns if you had relatives in town, if there was somebody going to pay. And then I would print them off. I'd send them off to the health centers, to the people that passed them around, and think it's done. And then you get a call. Well, now, if I put the if I put down one in that column, is my name count for me and the other name count for these things that I couldn't anticipate? People would have questions. Or if I'm bringing my spouse, do I write one check for me and one check for my spouse in case I come and they don't? or all my guests that are paying? Should I put them all on one check? And I was just, I can't make decisions like this. I can't handle data. And so, and yet people, when you're in this role of being union president, people think that you should have the answer to everything. And even though they have faith that you have the answer, they also feel free to criticize if they think it's the wrong answer. So there is no foolproof way to get out of this without fielding call after call, without demonstrating incompetence. It just can't be done. So all I can say is that I'm a union newsletter editor again for my reorganized local, and I'm trying to rebuild, but I will never, ever participate in a party committee or a picnic committee again.
And that was Sue Blaustein's story. And I can relate. I can relate, Sue. I am not a data person myself.
Yeah, we're people.
That's right. We there just we like go. To talk.
Stories from X-Fabula, part of Lake Effect Weekend, every Saturday and Sunday on WWM. And our first one was about unions, which have been in the news a little bit around here. And second one has to do with education. And this is kind of a little inspiring kind of story, too, because this is someone who overcame the odds to get into education.
She certainly did. Let's listen to Nicole Nico Kennedy, and here's her story.
The process with painting, I don't know if there's any painters here, but for some reason I get this rush where I see something and I have to paint it. But with poetry, it's different. I'm calm. It's like a form of prayer. But it wasn't always like that until about sophomore year of high school. Because in third grade, my teacher, she had accused me of stealing her walkie-talkie, right? Crazy. What would I do with it? Who would I talk to? What would I say? You know. But because I had a stutter, people would say, "You're lying because you're stuttering." I'm like, "Really?" And then I'd get mad. "You're lying because you're mad. If you're telling the truth, why are you mad?" I'm like, "Oh, forget it." So I stopped defending about myself. I was very quiet. I was known as the child who didn't talk, but I kept a journal. Kids my age, you're 8 years old, you have friends. I had an imaginary friend named James Baldwin, Toni Morrison. You know, they became my best friends, you know. And so I connected with them. Sophomore year of high school, I ran into Dasha, of course, and I heard this thing called poetry, and she was like, "Yeah, Poetry Slam, it's going crazy." I'm like, "Poetry? I have a poem, my very first poem." Remember, I was silent. I was a very mad child who wrote poetry about people who said how I was lying. My first poem was called "Don't Tell Me I'm Lying," and it was an angry poem, too. I remember it. Every line was, "I'm not lying. I am not lying." You know, and so I had to rewrite that because my best friends, James Baldwin and Toni Morrison, had connected with me, and I needed to connect with my crowd. I needed to make friends that made me feel like James Baldwin did. And so I started to join the poetry team. I had guts. I had to prove my grandma wrong. I joined the Wisconsin debate team, right? Crazy. Someone who stutters joined the Wisconsin debate team. I went. I won. Thank you very much. And so I told my grandmother 2 years ago, I had said, "I'm going to school and I'm going to go for art education." And she was like, "You're going to teach and you stutter? I'm praying for you." Instead of saying, "Good luck, great job," she said, "I'm praying for you." I was like, "I'm going to prove you wrong." And every time I'd speak about art and teaching, she would ignore me. She would say, are you slowing down? Do you stutter?" And she would always ignore the real reason why I do what I do. Until this day, she still says it. She still says, how's it going? Good, good, great. Anyway, with my children, it's different. For some reason, guys, and it's crazy, I'm in front of a room full of kids, and I don't stutter. It's like my sanctuary. I feel like James Baldwin. You know what I'm saying? I feel like Tony. I'm talking to Sula. You know what I'm saying? So I say that to say, who knew that this kid who stuttered every 20 seconds, who was lying their whole life, who had best friends like James Baldwin, is a teacher? Who knew? Thank you.
And that was Nicole Nico Kennedy. I love that story so much. She told that at Who Knew, which was our first event at a different location this past season. And we have a lot of new locations coming up this upcoming season at Xfabula. We're really excited about branching out into Milwaukee.
And information about upcoming programs and workshops and memberships and all the fun things that Xfabula involves available at
xfabula.com. And lest we not forget, we have another event coming up in April.
It is.
April 16th. The theme is Do the Math.
Well, then I don't have a story.
Math is hard.
I was going to use stronger language, but no. I don't have a story for that one, other than the fact that I can't do it.
You and me both, Bruce. So data and math, not good.
Not good. Thank you for the stories this weekend. We'll be back next weekend with more, and can't wait to see what you bring next week. Thank you.
Sounds great, Bruce. Thank you.